Dr. Mengele was a race biologist and not a pathologist, so it was not difficult to convince him that my diagnosis was correct. However, to be mistaken annoyed him. Turning to me, he said, "If you want my opinion, doctors who are guilty of such crass errors would be more useful to the Katzet as road workers than as physicians. Poor diagnoses like these could cause any number of unnecessary deaths." He took the affidavits and files, but before putting them in his briefcase, added a note in the margin. "Make the women doctors responsible," I read over his shoulder. I sincerely regretted having so wronged my innocent female colleagues, for their diagnosis was excellent. Perhaps they would now lose their jobs and end up performing heavy labor. If Dr. Mengele carried out his threat, I would have been the cause of it. According to the medical customs, as practiced outside the barbed wire, I had certainly acted unethically and was fully conscious of my guilt. I had wronged two or three innocent people. But to what lengths might Dr. Mengele have gone in his fight against epidemics? And what might have been the number of victims if I had acted differently? The next day, however, I received comforting news concerning the fate of my colleagues. Dr. Mengele had reprimanded them, but had let it go at that. The women doctors stayed on their jobs. Subsequently, many bodies were sent to me with their medical records, but the diagnosis column was never filled out. I preferred it that way. Dr. Mengele's indignation concerning the supposed error in diagnosis nevertheless continued to prey on my mind for several days. To find so much cynicism mixed with so much evil in a doctor surprised me, even in the Katzet. He was no ordinary doctor, but a criminal, or rather, a criminal doctor. And I have to interject here, but what does criminal mean when you do your criminality at the behest of the state? If not, that it is the state itself that is the criminal. As we have, our bodies still remember our true allegiance. Let me give an illustration. It's raining here in the Bay Area. And I just want to note, by way of preface, that for the last few months straight, if not longer, my eyes have been itchy, sinuses swollen, nose running profusely, all after I've been outside for any length of time. And I'm outside more than most, given my situation. And my body tends to be a good barometer in such matters. Can there be any doubt they've been cloud seeding? A euphemism for flooding our lungs with particulates, sulfur dioxide, aluminum oxide dust, designer self-levitating aerosols, and forcing us to once again be their guinea pigs so they can expand their knowledge of torture, of both the earth overall and we class-bound humans. And after all, they gave us fair warning, and we, apparently, were too weak to stop them, so we must be inferior beings and deserve whatever slop they drop onto our plates. And the media play, the propaganda they pump steadily, that tells us what to think so we can robotically repeat it in voices of assurance that bear no scrutiny, all say, "We sure need that rain." Really? Well, so do our brothers and sisters in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. Meanwhile, for PR purposes and purposes of pacification, the media brings another story sedative-laden. Food aid charity is being sent to all the suffering folks in Africa, and the drug slips quietly into our minds, and we murmur, "Oh well," and turn over in our soft, warm beds. This is the world they plan. This is the world we have. But we're not pets, brothers and sisters. Let's get out of bed. We want to help each other. We want it so bad, but the drugs have such a lulling effect that we've forgotten. And yet, if we step back and view from the vantage of the whole, the vantage from which we plan, we see clearly that we're doing just the opposite. We're hurting each other. And we have to start discussing loudly that power sets it up this way to ensure that we can do naught else but hurt each other. Ensure that the hurt we do happens structurally. That the hurt we do happens automatically. The machine like and the machine torture and killing of states. And shadow states. I heard Bill McKibben yesterday. This was the 8th of February, on the Bill Moyers radio show, blaming climate change for causing drought and famine in Africa. I noticed he failed to blame himself for taking money from Bill Gates, who's providing some funding for solar radiation management, quote unquote. And trust, this guy's Gates. This guy's a shadow statesman. This guy's a member or devotee of powers. Tribe, Plato's tribe. And this, as with all things to do with ending power, gets us back to the imperative of seeing reality as we proceed. And we'll be talking more about that when we turn to the page I put up, Founding and Realizing a Test Site, and seeing reality about what democracy is and is not. We'll be talking about. On February 5th, in one of the many Pete Seeger tributes that they've been playing, I heard a snippet of an interview with him in which he said, half facetiously, that he wished, when called before the House Un-American Affairs Committee during the McCarthy era, that he had been as bold as Paul Robeson and rose to his feet and said, "You are the unpatriots," meaning, I suppose, that his accusers had betrayed the ideals on which this country, according to the ideology, was founded. And still, this is the dominant perspective that gets publicly professed, as it's the state itself that trains us. But what if discussion was launched from the understanding that the state exists to compel our obedience, so that it can pursue its greater glory in the global arena? Would Paul Robeson have been outraged? And could then his off-the-charts phenomenal gifts, all that energy attendant on them, been better spent to help free us? I.e., to help start the necessary conversations and dissolve the mental chains that keep us trotting on that wine press. And to do my Paul justice, I have to say, it's way easier to say that than to feel that. the universe has been giving me some lessons on how hard it is to not feel outraged because we experience these things personally, right? But we are going to have to step back from outrage. Recall that what they're doing, they're trained that way. It can't be otherwise. They need that money. They need whatever their reasons. It's structural. It's structural. They set it up so that we structurally hurt each other. So we're going to have to change the structure. And in Founding and Realizing a Test Site, we're going to be looking more deeply at what that means to change the structure of class society.